know, the copies are being handed out, and so if audience members could be just as quiet as possible with that so that we can get right into our agenda. Members, before we present the bill, when on Thursday evening when I was given the targets for this committee, we were also given the responsibility of two additional items that had been heard in another committee. And that is on your spreadsheet, number 78 and 79, non-commercial television and MPR conversion to digital. That was heard in that committee, and I am assuming because it has to do with capital investment that they believe that this is where it should be carried. But, therefore, we really need to hear something about that. And so if Jennifer Johnson, and I don't know if you want to present separately or one at a time, Ms. Johnson and Mr. Straczynski, is it... would you just, if we could both, yes, if you both come to the table, we'll go there, separate items. And we will begin with Jennifer Johnson. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you. I'm Jennifer Johnson with Minnesota Public Radio.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Chair Hausman and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to share with you some information about MPR. I'm here today as an employee and, of course, a listener to Minnesota Public Radio. MPR reaches approximately 800,000 Minnesotans weekly. And they listen an average of 8.5 hours each week. In greater Minnesota, we reach nearly 223,000 people. We play important public safety and public service roles for all residents across the state. With its network of stations, MPR serves as the backbone to the state's emergency alert system. We also serve as the backbone for the Amber Alert system for the state and provide an important service called the Radio Talking Book with the Minnesota State Services for the Blind. This year we have a one-time funding need related to high-definition or HD digital conversion. Digital radio means high-quality sound without interference, and it also means that MPR will have the opportunity to provide more and diverse programming. To earn a federal match, we have to invest $3.8 million in locally generated funds. So we are asking for this one-time appropriation. These funds have been designated for us to collect within the next year and a half, so we have a very tight time frame to meet this match. We are very grateful for the public and private collaboration that has made MPR what it is today. Thank you for your time and attention.
Questions for Ms. Johnson, or it may be that we, after both presentations, there might be some. I see no questions now. Mr. Straczynski, well, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Bill Straczynski, and I represent the Minnesota Public Television Association here at Capitol and have since 1982.
And do I understand this was a Representative Olin Bill? Is that correct?
Actually, Jennifer's is a Representative Olin Bill.
I see. Okay.
This one's Representative Townsville. But thank you. I did have a handout. I think it made it around to the committee members, Madam Chair. Public television, first of all, there's a federal mandate that we change our signal from analog signal to digital television. As you may recall, a number of years ago, 4 years ago specifically, the Minnesota legislature passed an appropriation which enabled us to get our transmitters on the air and meet the federal requirement of having an analog signal, a digital signal on the air. Currently, we're broadcasting in both technologies, analog and digital. And in February 16th or something like that, 2009, we have to turn our analog license back to the federal government. So we will just then broadcast in digital. Madam Chair, I did do a handout which talks about the equipment we need. While our transmitters are digitized and now digital, we need to convert all of our equipment so that we can do local origination programming in a digital format. And so the budget request has, this is $2.2 million per station, what's needed. and there are six stations serving the interests of Minnesota Public Television. Also in your packets is a map, which basically describes where our signal covers. And we cover about 97.5-98% of the population of Minnesota can receive a public television signal over the air. So we have six nonprofit organizations serving the interests of the state of, citizens of Minnesota. In addition to the equipment we need to do to produce programming in the digital format, we're looking for interconnection money. That interconnection money will enable all of our public television stations to be interconnected so that we can distribute programming through that interconnection. That interconnection is made to the state's fiber backbone system. This legislature, maybe 8 years ago or so, did pass legislation which enabled public television access to the state fiber system. You passed a bill which enabled that. Now, with the advent of technology, we can connect to that system and distribute programming statewide so that everybody could get programs statewide at the same time. One example of that interconnection, how it will be used, and that equipment is about $800,000 of our request. How that will be used is, for example, the Minnesota legislature is covered here by Channel 17 in the metro area, but you have to go to satellite, then it goes to cable heads throughout the rest of the state of Minnesota currently. Under this new technology, and under agreement with the House and Senate Media Services, should this come to pass, we will, and our interconnections there, we'll be able to distribute Minnesota coverage, legislative coverage, as an example, one of the programs, statewide. People just have to turn on their television set and they can watch the legislature on their channel, if you want them to do that. So that's the second part of our request. And then we can exchange data and programming, almanac. We can distribute our own programming through that system. Madam Chair, our numbers have been reduced. The total appropriation we are requesting at the current time is $12.9 million. That's the hard number we're using. And finally, I'd like to point out in the handout is detailed explanations of the digital budget request. We did ask the executive branch to be included and requested funding support from them. They chose not to support our request at this time. And finally, this digital conversion, we're in phase two and three. I handed out what was documents that was done in 1999. You may recall this initial request was vetoed by Governor Ventura, and the legislature did override Governor Ventura's veto and provided funding for initial transmitter interconnection. Our total cost for that transmitter construction, originally was about $26.9 million, and we did realize that money. We got some of it from the state, and we were able to match some funding. But our interconnection at that time was $7.6 million because we're looking at a microwave system or satellite system. It's a lot cheaper today. We can do it for $800,000. So we've pared down our request for our conversion of equipment and interconnection. And I did hand out a little brochure which talks in more details about it. But it's important. We can't rely on federal funding for this match because it's just not available for us. The federal dollars are going towards helping other stations throughout the country convert to digital. And finally, Madam Chair, about 2.4 million people watch this on a weekly basis, watch public television. It's a good value for the dollar. And we appreciate any support the committee can give us towards funding our digital conversion phase two and three, and finalize it for us. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Erdahl has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good to see you again.
Yes,
this last week, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Once again, now, what is your amount that you're asking for again?
Madam Chair, Representative Erdahl, it's $12.9 million.
Okay.
One time.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Erdahl.
And we had discussed last week, when does this have to be done?
Madam Chair, Representative Erdahl, we have to turn our analog license back in February of 2009. At that time, we can't really use our analog equipment to develop local originating programming like the nightly news they do up in Bemidji, Brainerd, and what have you. We need the digital money in place by that time.
That's never at all.
Madam Chair, thank you. So, once again, would it be possible to do this in two installments?
Madam Chair, Representative Erdahl, yes, we could do it over a period of both years of the biennium. But the our intention was that, to do the interconnection first because we could then carry the 2000 2008-09 session of the Minnesota Legislature on that using public television. I mean, we need the interconnection equipment in place. All the equipment we're buying, by the way, is off the shelf. We don't have to invent it. It's all available to us today. It's just a matter of purchasing.
Chair, at all.
One more. Thank you, Madam Chair. The interconnection, what is the cost of that?
Madam Chair, Representative Bertol, the interconnection component is about $800,000 for that, just that equipment.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions of either? Ms. Johnson, I am wondering if you have additional information that you might leave the committee. Were there handouts in committee that we might get from you?
I'd be happy to provide the committee members with some additional information.
And perhaps with both of you, since this is new to us, if we could just briefly, after our meeting concludes today, if we could just touch base briefly, since we're new to the project. No other questions? Thank you for coming before us. Thank you, Representative Olin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee.
Welcome to the committee. Madam Chair, I will move House File 886 to be passed and referred to, I should have checked, I believe it goes first to finance. To pass it. And then, Madam Chair, I further have a delete everything.
Okay, that's in your packet. That's H0886DE2, delete all amendments. You get the bill in the shape that the Chair would like it to be in.
So, Madam Chair, I would move the DE2 amendment.
Any questions on the DE2 amendment from members? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
We'll talk through the bill and then a little bit of language. It goes without saying, this is a very small bill, and thus, in a year like this, one can do very little. We have, in the last 2 years, two consecutive $1 billion bonding bills, so $135 million. Plus some one-time cash has not gone very far. But as we wrote the bill, you will notice there is one line, or two lines, I should say, that we absolutely did not touch. And that is HEPR for the University of Minnesota and HEPR for MNSCU, because one of the things we talked about early in this session was that is the line that we always cut. Those are the leaky roofs, those are the heating systems that no longer function efficiently. In so many ways, all across this state, those dollars are very badly needed. And so those were actually very much hands-off this year. Under the University of Minnesota, last year we funded one of the bioscience buildings. This year, the biomedical research facility that is a renovation is funded at 80%. We have had some conversation about the facility's authority. And for a number of reasons, leadership in the House felt this was probably not the year we wanted to tackle that, and so we'll hopefully revisit that next year. I will say that the building last year and the building this year, and hopefully if the university would choose one next year as well, would put them well on the way to the facilities that they were seeking. Further, our state commitment in that bioscience area is met in another bill. Some of you may be on that committee, where I think some $30 million is going to a University of Minnesota and Mayo project in Rochester. We even have, Madam Chair, as we go through it, you'll see a little bit of infrastructure for another bioscience corridor that's near and dear to Representative Scalzi, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. In addition to Heifer for Minsky, there were two land acquisition items at Bemidji State and Fond du Lac. And you may recall when they presented their Heifer presentation, we asked about that campus that's kind of a twin campus, designed, I believe, by the same architect and built in the same year. And we wondered, was one building deteriorating more rapidly than another? And we were told that was not the case. And so we're actually giving them a little more money than they asked for, so that we can kind of keep those twin campuses whole. And so there is additional, that was a Representative Nelson bill for Hennepin Tech. There is a native prairie wetland that a school in the Anoka-Hennepin district would like to share with the rest of the state, not only for training teachers but also having students visit. Late on Friday, Representative Breiling called, and she had just heard from the Department of Education relative to Red Lake. And we asked if that was in writing or by phone, and they said that was just by phone. We did get some language that the department recommended, but their recommendation to us was Red Lake at $30 million, so that is a Department of Education recommendation. Again, it came very late in the week, last week, through the K-12 chair, and we'll try to get more information on that as we go along. You notice that that the spreadsheet shows what the total requests were in bills. It also shows what was in the governor's bill. We have funded all of the governor's initiatives. The first one appears here, the flood control phase for the city of Stillwater. There is a, you may recall, Representative Solberg talking about the Tennessee Mine outflow project. Springbrook Nature Center, which this year was chaired by, was authored by Representative Lane. I think last year was authored by Representative Tinglestad. Big Bog State Recreation Area. The Fort Snelling Upper Bluff is simply stabilizing those buildings that are crumbling. And I think what the committee said in addition is we really hope that all of the players in that area come soon with some sort of a comprehensive plan. And actually, I think Representative Mahoney may have an interesting bill to present to us on that issue for next year. The Red River Basin Digital Elevation Model. We had heard the flood hazard mitigation issue in the city of Roseau. And, of course, over the weekend, on Friday, Thursday and Friday, I believe it was, Browns Valley was hit with that incredible flood. And though we have not had that issue before us, just acknowledging that that is a current crisis, we have added City of Roseau and Browns Valley for flood hazard mitigation. The Cuyuna County State Recreation Area, they were looking for a small amount of money that leverages from federal dollars. The Gateway Trail was just a practical issue. They had the all of the road construction equipment there on that road, and if we were to put a tunnel for the bike path to protect them from all of that traffic around 36 and 120, it would be more easily done now. The Loose Line was a Representative Cole's initiative, and as I understand it, it was included, the bonds were, they had expired, and we needed to put that money back in. You remember Representative Dorman brought the Albert Lee issue to us last year. The PCA testified that when they got in there, they discovered the problem was much worse. And so for Albert Lee, another $2.5 million, Representative Brownbill. A Representative Morrow bill, the Lake Titlow Watershed, River Reserve, the Minnesota Zoological Gardens, which is the governor's initiative. The MnDOT building exterior, you notice we're doing with Punk Highway Fund. I believe there might be a memo in your packets about that. There is some property the state administration department wanted to acquire, I think, somewhere between us and Region Hospital, perhaps adjoining the revenue building. There is a wonderful community that's raised $80,000 in Eden Prairie for a veterans memorial, and we're partnering with them. You just heard about the commercial television and NPR conversion to digital. Representative Singh said brought forward a proposal for a forensic crime lab that we have included in the bill. And members, in these next 2 seconds, I will say that many of these projects access federal money, probably a great deal more than it is here. And I said it's a small bill, and you will see 3 line items that were in fact my bill when you see how drastically we needed to cut. I had a bill for high-speed rail between St. Paul and Chicago, for the Union Depot and for Central Corridor, and in fact, between those 3 line items, I cut $24 million to fund other parts of this bill. Obviously, those are very painful to do. But what you see in both of these sections, you recall the hearing where we heard 10 bills, and we told a story that told the committee from La Crescent to Duluth, from Bloomington to St. Cloud and beyond, we are going to build a system of public mass transit that provides some alternative transportation choices to this region that prepare us for the future when another million people will live in this metropolitan area. I had intended to just check the population of that area. The Southern County metro area has 55% of the population. I'm guessing that when we think about all those regional centers, we probably will have reached 75% of the state's population. And what isn't in here yet, and that I pledge to do in the interim, is work with Rochester to be very intentional to see if we can partner, whether it is in the 52 corridor that connects with Robert Street, but in some way that regional center, in addition, needs to be connected. The Mankato District Headquarters, they have come many, many times. We finally decided this had to be the year. That is also funded with Trump Highway Fund. You may wonder where we got this strange number for the port. We had to balance $135 million in GO bonds and $120 in cash, and we chose that line to make sure that the totals in our bill balance, so that's why we have sort of unusual numbers there. I believe you have in your packets a list of 2007 local bridges. Is that correct? And we had testimony about the needs. It is amazing how many bridges we are able to construct with those amounts of money. There were 205 bridges actually replaced last year at a construction cost of $60 million. So you can see how far that money goes. I am told by the department that there are over 30 bridge plans ready for letting if funding is available. And so we think that probably for this year is a reasonable amount. That, you know, is something that probably appears in every bonding bill because it is so important to the state. Moving on to chemical dependency treatment facility, that was the Representative Lanning initiative that we just heard, and so that's probably fresh in your mind. Again, under Department of Corrections, some Oak Park Heights asset preservation issues that were in the governor's bill. The Duluth Convention Center, Representative Murphy was another of those that had to, you noticed 3 senior members who had to take some significant cuts to make this bill work, and those two lines, both the Duluth Convention Center and the Itasca County infrastructure, are in the bill. You may recall the Representative Peterson's bill on Lewis and Clark. They had bonding authority. Bonding didn't work for that project. In this bill, we have converted it from bonding to cash. We have the Mayo Civic Center reflected in this bill. The Wildlife Rehab Center, which serves veterinary students from the University of Minnesota, and in fact, in the summer, they actually offer at least one class that where veterinary students receive credit. I referenced Representative Scalzi's Wright Street Bridge, which is for
St. Jude Medical.
St. Jude Medical, thank you. Which had expanded on the south side of Highway 36, and they wanted also to expand on the north side. But if you have ever been in that part of the world and tried that bridge, you know that putting any more traffic on there is a real problem. And we believe that there we were partnering with a company that is very, very important to them. The Worthington redevelopment grants are some language thought by Representative Hamilton that require no dollars. You will note on the summary of the bill language, when we do the bonding bill, it tends to focus in a number of areas important to us. One of those is higher education. One of those is transportation. One of those is corrections, one of those is economic development, but most significantly, natural resources. This year, that's the area of the bill where we are not doing very much, but I can promise you that next year, that will be a portion of the bill that will receive significant attention. On page 5 of the language, my understanding is that is the language that came from the State Department of Education. This appropriation is to first complete the education spaces in the high school, middle school. Unexpended funds remaining after completion may be used for the elementary school project. And we hopefully will get some information from the State Department on that. On page 16, at the top of the page, I think what we wanted to demonstrate to all those authors of all those corridors is they are all significant and they are all accommodated here. The Metropolitan Council will, in fact, be conducting a study, and though I had some language about that study, it struck me as policy language, and I respect Representative Leader's role in that area, and I'll be offering that as a bill to the Transportation Policy Committee. It is referenced here briefly, and that is in the money that we identify as the I-494 Transit Option Study. We simply add to that on 16-2 and 16-3 and other transit corridors in the metropolitan area. In other words, that money is not just to study one corridor, but all of those that the Metropolitan Council may choose. Mr. Fingerstad, would you like to talk about the language on page 21?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and actually if I can get the page up here, I do have a little handout that referenced the statutes in there, wherever the page went. Members, this has to do with the sustainable building guidelines, an issue that is often referenced in anything we do in capital investment, and Chair Houseman had assigned Vice Chair Scalzi, Representative Wagenius, and I to meet and look at some of the statutes that are referenced that relate to the sustainable building guidelines, and we wanted to do something at least to get things started in this year's bonding bill and perhaps look at something in the interim for next year's bonding bill. So with that, there's just the language changes on page 21 of the bill, lines 15 through 18, which encourages to exceed the sustainable building guidelines established. And with the page handout coming around, you see where that's referenced in statute, basically some things for healthy environment and doing some things to reduce energy costs and make the building more sustainable. I don't know if anybody has questions on that or if we can talk about it later. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any questions on that for Representative Tingelstad? Very good. Representative Hausman.
Thank you. On page 31, Representative Erdahl is not in the room right now. We heard from him a little bit about Healy's Lake State Park, and we said that the commissioner, in consultation with the local citizens of Meeker County, shall develop a plan, and that we'd like to see that plan at the next session. Representative Howes has some language. Representative Howes on page 32, if you want to speak to that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Howes, and members. We passed a bill here in 2005 that granted the DHS $4 million for demolition and reuse issues at the Agua Ching site in Walker, Minnesota. Department of Human Services has been postponing the time frame when they're going to get in there, and right now it's been postponed to 2008. So thank you, Chair Hausman, for allowing me to put this language in there that would extend the bond proceeds till 2010. Gives us time to wait for DHS to vacate the property.
And then,
Representative Hausman.
Madam Chair, Representative Carlson has some language on page, I think it's mostly on page 34, if you want to just explain to the committee that particular language.
Representative Carlson.
Madam Chair, members, that deals with the library merger and the actual of Hennepin County and Minneapolis. The actual merger is being carried in another bill, but this does deal with the transfer of the responsibility for the bonds that would be necessary to carry in this bill.
And
Representative Hausman,
Madam Chair, happened to be the research person in the other committee where that bill was being heard, and suggested that that piece of the bill should more appropriately be carried in this bill. So the rest of the bill is traveling separately. And the rest of the language either comes from the governor's bill accompanying his initiatives, or from directly from the bills that you see funded. Again, it was a very difficult bill to construct compared to one that has $1 billion worth of room. But that is very briefly the bill, and Ms. Dyson and I are available. I think our fiscal analyst will be here soon. If there are numbers of questions, please join us here. Questions?
Representative Tingelstad.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hausman, on page 38, the repealer, can you go through what that is, please?
Deb Dyson from House Research.
The repealer is actually, and the reviser instruction, that's related to sections 21 to 35 of the bill as well, and that is from House File 1175 that was presented by Mr. Sausen from the Department of Finance. It's the in 91, there was the law that authorized financial assistance for Northwest Airlines, and part of that financing included the aircraft heavy maintenance facility at the Duluth Airport. 2005, Northwest Airlines declared bankruptcy, and Northwest Airlines mechanics went on strike, and the strike in the Duluth maintenance facility has been empty since then. All of those sections, including the repealer, were proposed as proposals by the Department of Finance and the Attorney General's office that would facilitate the reuse of the Duluth maintenance facility. And I believe that bill was presented to this committee just last week. The repealer specifically relates the 116R.02 sub 3 relates to the Data Practices Act and procedures for the Commissioner of Finance to follow in reviewing Northwest Airlines financial information before issuing the bonds. The Subdivision 6 that's repealed relates to the Hibbing Chisholm engine repair facility, and that aspect of the project was never pursued. Subdivision 7 requires the Commissioner of Finance to determine that Northwest Airlines agreed to noise abatement requirements before issuing the bond. Subdivision 9 was requiring the Commissioner of Employment and Economic Development to report to the Governor and Legislature on various topics related to that original financing. And the last repealer relates to requiring an enforceable pledge that the corporate headquarters remain in Minnesota for the duration of the agreement. And I believe Mr. Southam's testimony pointed out that if that might be difficult in reusing the Duluth maintenance facility for any other entity that might want to use the engine repair facility in Duluth. So those were all tied to that Northwest Airlines financing agreement change.
Thank you, Ms. Dyson.
And Madam Chair, I will say I did forget to mention that Representative Murphy is at 15 pages of the bill relates to the contract. So, though it looks like a very long bill, in fact, probably half of it has to do with that one bill.
Very good. Any more questions for Representative Hausman from committee members? Representative Tinglestad.
Madam Chair, Representative Hausman mentioned Mr. Southam, and I know we heard another bill. I know Representative Lanning had some questions about it. Is any of that other bill in this bill here?
Madam Chair,
Representative Hausman.
None of that amendment is here. There is an amendment that's going to be offered tomorrow. We're going to revisit that issue. But none of that particular bill was included in this bill.
Thank you.
And Representative Pawlowski had a question. I'm sorry I missed you last time.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hausman, you had just gone over the Port Authority bonding. Could you go through that one more time? You had a mix of GO and one-time money. Is that correct?
Representative Hausman.
Madam Chair and Representative Pawlowski, because we had $135 million in bonding and $120 million in cash, when we were trying to balance so that they would exactly match, we decided to use the ports as the place where we would split that up between general fund and GO. When you have to balance the bill down to a dollar, it becomes a little awkward, but it's basically $1.5 million for ports.
Madam Chair,
Representative Pawlowski.
$1.5 million total for ports?
Yes.
And of the $1.5 million, what is GO and what is one time?
Representative Hausman.
General fund is $1,000,001 and the GO is $499.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Representative Hausman? Is there anyone in the audience who would like to come and ask a question of Representative Hausman? Seeing none, did you have a question?
Then, Madam Chair,
Representative Hausman.
I would just conclude again by saying a bill like this is very painful to write, and I earlier referenced three of my lines that I cut very dramatically, but some of you, I think, worried that this was going to be a bill devoted solely to St. Paul, but I suspect, I don't know if they're here, but my St. Paul colleagues are probably the most brokenhearted of all because they brought a convention center issue before us, and frankly, I do believe that they can make a case for having been handled inequitably with state investment, but as you see, they are not included in this bill. And the Ordway Theater came forward, again, I would argue, perhaps inequitably treated with state investment, and you see they are not in the bill either. So my city has fared rather poorly here. On the other hand, I know that all of the transportation investment is incredibly important to the economic health of our region.
Well, thank you, Representative. Representative Tinglestad has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a procedural one to Chair Hausman. Could you just run through what will happen tomorrow? What about amendments? Is there a 24-hour rule? Will people have access to the amendments before tomorrow's meeting? Just kind of what the plan is for the next day.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hausman.
I know of one amendment, and I believe that I gave a copy of that to you. That was the one that responds to the issue that that you asked about relative to that nonprofit question. So we know there's one. Obviously, you can't give us 24 hours because there's not 24 hours left between this meeting and next. But what we would like, just because we have such an incredibly organized and efficient staff, but they do like a little bit of time to make sure that your packets are well organized. So what we would like is if your amendments can be to us by noon tomorrow, so that we have a little bit of time to organize the materials for the committee, that would be helpful. And then we'll proceed to take up amendments tomorrow.
Any questions from the committee on that procedure? Representative Tinglestad.
Not on that procedure, Madam Chair.
Oh, okay.
And I hate to be the only one asking questions here, but I've been on the committee a long time, so I have questions procedurally. Madam Chair, Representative Hausman, the end of the spreadsheet where it talks about the new GEO funding at the 140, general fund 120, and cancellations at 5, I know I've had some questions from my party members about why the GEO is at 140 instead of 135, and I know that relates to the cancellation, so that might be a common question. Maybe if you could describe how those numbers came together.
Yes. Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You may recall we had one instance last year when in one portion of the bill the bonds for the Buck Barn were canceled, and then we sent them in another part of the bill for the Central Corridor. And we have done similarly, except that in this case we cancel bonds and we get cash. And so when those bonds are canceled and deducted from that 140, hopefully if we've done our math right, that is now a 125.
Thank you.
Representative Pawlowski has a question.
Madam Chair, I don't know if you can answer this. Perhaps someone on the committee can. In previous sessions, when the finance bills have been put together, they have been dismantled and reassembled in Ways and Means, and now we have Ways and Means in Finance. I'm wondering if you can speak to the integrity of this bill, should we pass it tomorrow or whatever day we pass it. Is this bill going to remain reasonably intact from this committee, or are we looking for capital investment too in either Ways and Means or Finance or both?
Representative Hausman.
Madam Chair, Representative Pawlowski, I think we've had the good fortune to have the Chair of Finance and the Chair of Ways and Means as members of this committee. And so when we present the bill and when we pass it tomorrow, we believe that they'll be good partners in this and indicate their support of this, and I have found that to be true of both of them. So Representative Carlson is welcome to address the question as well.
Oh, Madam Chair, I think you've done good work.
Very good. Any more questions from the committee? If not, thank you, Representative Hausman. Any closing remarks?
I believe if you would, there are just some announcements that perhaps either you or Jenny Nash, committee administrator, could make rather than...
Well, the next meeting, thank you, Representative Hausman, the next meeting of this committee will be tomorrow, Tuesday, March 20th at 2:15 in the basement hearing room for markup. And then if necessary, we'll continue the meeting at 6:30 p.m. in room 5.
And then is it clear all of the, I think we were just calling attention to all their handouts. We have the list of 2007 bridges. I think we have all the Minsky projects so you can actually see what is funded, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hausman. We do have the Governor's Supplemental Capital Budget recommendations in the handouts, the HEFR, the MNSFU, and U of M, the Local Bridge 2007 Priority List, and the Ports Needs Bill, and and then a handout from the Department of Administration on the impact on lease rates based on the funding source.
And so, Madam Chair, if you'd like to move the minutes, I believe you can also adjourn the meeting.
I would move the minutes. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. Meeting is adjourned.